We're going to jump right into my message this morning. See, I've been teaching on the anointing. I want to stay on that subject because I believe that the church is going to be more powerful now than the church was the day Jesus left the earth. There's a couple things. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, let me be able to put into words what is on the inside of me. I need His help with this because sometimes I feel like I could just explode, and I hope you get what it is I'm trying to get out. And sometimes I do a horrible job at that. Other times I do better. Today's going to be a good day at that. But I'm telling you, the church should be anointed. The church should have days of Noah, days of Moses, days. You know, Moses had to cover his face. When he came before the people, he had to cover his face. Why? Because when he got into the presence of God, he glowed. Like a glow worm. You ever had a glow worm? I had one when I was a kid. Little hat on, sleep. You press it and you hold it and it lights up. I loved that thing. And so Moses glowed from the inside out. Moses glowed. He lit up. Now, I'm not saying that all of our church is going to walk out and we're going to light the night skies with our face. But I'm not saying we're not either. I'm open for anything the Lord is going to do in this time and in this season. But can I say something, just a side note about Moses? Just a side note about Moses. Moses also was an inventor of religion. It was. You know where I'm going with this. Moses sometimes would wear the veil when he did not glow. You know why he wore the veil when he did not glow? The people were getting out of line. And he put the veil on to scare the people to think God came down. They're here like, oh, Moses has the veil on. He's glowing. He's been with the Lord. Honey, stop sinning. And so the community would get back in line. And what has religion done for us? Give us a form of godliness, but deny the very power thereof. Right. Now this is what's wonderful. God lives on the inside of us. So no longer, now God still falls. See, I always put it like this, bacon pancakes. There's a wonderful song on YouTube called Bacon, Bacon Pancakes. Wonderful. Don't look at it now. Look at it when you leave. And they mash it up with the song New York. It just plays perfect together. And so find that song, play it, not now, but later. And it's great to have bacon inside the pancake. Actually, that's my favorite. If I had to choose bacon on the pancake or bacon in the pancake, I'm going with in. Now, if I had to choose, but thankfully I eat breakfast at a place that doesn't make me choose. They put bacon on the inside and then they'll put bacon on the outside for me. That's better. And so the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. God lives on the inside of us. But also when we get together, when we praise the Lord, God can fall down on us. The anointing, see, the anointing is smeared on, and that's because of the presence of God. The anointing literally means to smear. And if you've ever been smeared with grease or worked on a car or messed with anything and you got that black grease on you that just doesn't come off, but it will come off on everything you touch. See, God is the same way. He's on the inside of us, but we're anointed with the presence of the Lord. And everywhere we go, from work to family reunions, to church picnics, wherever we go, the anointing of God should be on us. And everywhere we touch, if you could see in the spirit realm, it should be marked by your very presence. Whether you see it or not, when you walk into a room, the spiritual world takes notice. When you walk into a bank, when you walk into Chuck E. Cheese, you better bring God with you in Chuck E. Cheese. Wherever you go, you bring the very presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the world, the spirit world, if you notice, when you walk in a room, everything should change. Every spirit should pay attention to you because the glory of God lives on the inside of you and you are glowing from the inside out. And the world is waiting. What is it that you're going to say? What word are you going to quote? What will you put up with and what will you refuse to put up with? See, the church has a power that it hasn't tapped into. And when I say hasn't, I'm not saying all churches. I'm just saying as a majority, the body needs to start tapping into the anointing a lot more. Jesus walked in the anointing. Jesus was anointed. And to carry out all that God called him to do, he had to be anointed. And we're Christ-like. What does that mean? I'm like Christ. If he needed the anointing, I'm going to need it too. And so what we pay attention to, there's a principle, what we focus on will draw to us. Negative people draw negative situations to them. Positive people draw positive things to them. That is a law of attraction that God has set into place. And when we begin to pay attention, we find out, we search, we see what the anointing will do. Once we get in the understanding of the anointing and focus on it, it will begin to operate in our life like never before. I'm not telling you, somebody, well, do I have the anointing every operator? Yes! But now you'll begin to see it. Now it'll operate and you'll recognize it. It's important to recognize it. It's like if you ever, if you were ever a certain way, okay, give you something. In my family, we grew up with Suburbans. We grew up having Suburbans and big old Suburbans. Well, when GM, not my dad, he's an interesting fella. When GM had to get the bailout from the government, right? And when that happened and Ford refused to do it, my dad just said, well, Ford's a more stable company. I'm going with Ford. And we switched. We switched to the Ford Expedition. My family switched. Now, we never noticed a Ford Expedition in our life. Hundreds of them drive to past us and we never saw it. But all of a sudden we bought one. Everywhere we looked was Ford Expeditions. Now, I wasn't drawing Ford Expeditions to me. What was happening was Ford Expeditions were always manifested in my presence and I just never even noticed it. Now all of a sudden I'm noticing it everywhere. God is manifesting in your presence. God is manifesting in the church. But when you give heed to him, when you begin to notice him purposely, begin to seek him out, you'll begin to see him everywhere. And then all of a sudden your spirit is becoming alive to things. And all of a sudden the Lord is leading, guiding, directing you. And it starts off small. And then you begin to notice it even more and more. And then all of a sudden it comes to a point where you know it's the Lord. In the beginning you're like, is that the Lord? Lord, was that me? Was that you, Lord? And then all of a sudden you get to a place just out of operating in it enough. You get to a place where you're like, that was God. God has spoken. And there becomes a confidence on the inside of you simply because you begin to recognize and make a priority the anointing of God. Look at your neighbor and say, I am anointed. Look at your other neighbor and say, you are anointed. Oh, you're anointed. You're anointed. I feel like Oprah this morning. Everyone's anointed. You get anointing. You get anointing. Oh. Think of one of the best givers you've ever seen in the face of your life. Someone who is just awesome at blessing people. I don't care who they are or how much they give away. God is better at it. And he wants to do more. When Oprah gave all those cars away, did y'all see that? When she did that years ago? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, just a couple hands. Everybody else? Oprah who? Oprah what? All right. They had to pay taxes on those cars. Some of them lost them because they couldn't afford the tax to buy the car. God gives you the anointing and he don't make you pay taxes on it. You get to keep it. The IRS isn't going to come to you and say, the Lord has blessed you, and if you can't pay taxes on what that anointing is worth, we're going to have to take it from you. What God has given you, no man can take away. The Bible tells us that no army, no weapon formed against us, nothing can come and take the blessing of God away. Well, you may be in a situation where you say, it looks like that has happened. Well, the interesting thing is, it's not over. It is not done. If it looks that way now, let's give God time to work. And while we're giving him time to work, why don't you begin to work the word? See, because God doesn't do anything on his own. There's some things, don't get me wrong. But when he works with you, he wants to work with you. He wants you to be involved in the process. He wants you to learn how to stand on your own two feet. He wants you to be potty trained in the body of Christ. Doesn't want you to be a messy, stinky baby. And in Nothing wrong. I love babies. I have two of them. I love babies. And I just had this conversation with someone. Isn't it great to sleep through the night? Yes. Isn't it great to not have to go with them to the bathroom? Isn't it wonderful?
Glory be to God.
That's God's goal for all of us. Is that we can sleep through the night, that we can feed ourselves, that we can get up and walk. It's great to have a miracle, but it's wonderful to be able to provide a miracle for someone else. It's great to have the healing power of God hit you and heal you miraculous, but it's another thing to walk in the healing power all the time. Oh, now there ain't no condemnation no matter where you are. We're all working to get to a goal. We're running our race. Every one of us running to win an award. See, I'm running to win. Ooh. Lord, I want to win. I am a competitive person. Not terrible. I have met some people that are terrible. They're competitive and they're terrible. Is that you? Is that you? Any of you? You know who you are. In my early marriage years, we could not play. You know where I'm going. We could not play Mario Kart. You want to know why? Because I'm good. I will take you down. I will hold a blue shell. Y'all who played Mario Kart, you know what I'm talking about. I will hold it. And I'll be in second or third place, and I will hold it, and I will wait to the right time of the course. And I will look at your screen. Some people say that's cheating. No, that's strategizing. I will look at your screen, and I will hold it. And when I know you're almost there, I will release it. And that blue shell will hunt you down. It will hit you, and you will go from first to ninth. And I will stroll right by you and win. Now, that didn't go over so well. That did not go over well at all. There were other games I also found out we could not play. Uno? Don't act like you don't know Uno. And Monopoly. Those are games that end marriages. It was tough, but you know what? I played to win. I played to win. And when I play against my kids, can I tell you something? I'm sure I have let them win once or twice. But when they win, they really win. We have a game we call Sequence. I play that. I play to win. I strategize. I beat them. We play other games. I win. Now, if I lose, I'm gracious. I'm not a terrible loser. I'm like, good job. I may have to say it in faith before I really believe it. But I'm there. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to cut your throat and leave you on the side of the road like the Samaritan. I'm not going to pass you up. I will help you. I love you. Oh, let me just say this. One time we were playing a church softball game, and they asked me to pray. And I declined. I said, no, you don't want me to pray. Let's have someone else pray. And they said, no. We want pastors to pray as much as we possibly can. We want them involved. I'm like, it would be better that someone else prays. It really would be better. And they insisted. And I said, okay, fine, I'll pray. I can't remember word for word what I prayed, but it went something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are all here today. Please keep us all safe. But I thank you in advance that my team will win. God, you are no respecter of persons, but you are a respecter of faith. So I am releasing now that my team will play at their best ability. God, protect us, but help us to dominate the field. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And when I looked up, my team's head was all bowed, holding their hands, and they said, amen. The other team's mouth was open and eyes were big. And the guy who begged me to pray said, oh, okay, let's just say one more prayer. And everybody bowed their head and closed their eyes, and he prayed a nice prayer that all teams would do equally well, blah, 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 blah. I play to win. I'm going to play to win. But can I tell you something? In the church world, God has set the church up to win. God has given you ability that he has not given the world. He has placed the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Now, this is beautiful. Are you ready for this? A lot of people, the mentality of the church has got to change. The mentality of the church has been, if just Jesus was here in the person, if Jesus was in us in the flesh, how much greater would it be? If we could just walk and talk with Jesus like the disciples did and he was in the flesh. If you believe that, then you do not believe the word, because the word said it is important that I go. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus himself said it's important that I leave this place because I'm going to leave you another. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so if Jesus said it, I believe it. If it's the word, I believe it. It was important that Jesus left so that I would receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus thought it was so important that he left to leave us something. Oh, let's get into the word. Otherwise, I'll be here all day. Ready? John 14:10. When you get there, say amen. Y'all, we have a church picnic to go to. Y'all going to have to turn faster. That was a joke. Y'all could laugh a little bit. Woo! Thank you. I feel good. Kind of like I know I would. Come on. Y'all are great. John 14, and let's look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. Now look at verse 12. Just drop down to verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, what? Shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jump to verse 16. And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Look at your neighbor and say forever. Forever. Look at your other neighbor and say ever, ever. Okay. All right, in the Amplified, are you ready? In the Amplified. In the Amplified, it puts it this way. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, aid to be with you for... Oh, I skipped it. Sorry. Advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever. That's a whole lot of stuff to be with you forever. I mean, let's just look at this. Let's just look at this. I want to see this again. A helper, a comforter. An advocate, I missed that one. The advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. Anybody need any of those things? Yeah. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe every one of them. Right. Maybe you're saying, I need all of that. I feel like an infomercial. Set it and forget it. Get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and he will bring for you a comforter. But wait. If you accept Jesus as your Savior today, he will also be an advocate, an intercessor, a healer. He will give you all the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. All for the price of salvation. And guess what? He already paid the bill. All you have to do right now is call upon his name. Anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Not might be. Oh, this is not a scam. We don't even take a credit card number down. You get it all living on the inside of you, accessible at any time. All you've got to do is call. All you've got to do is put attention on the anointing. All you have to do is apply it to your life. All you have to do is begin to give God every situation. Ask him for his guidance, his counsel, and then all of a sudden you will begin to be moved by the Spirit of God in one way or another. And as you focus on that and continue to do that, it just becomes a way of life. And all of a sudden you're in line and the Holy Spirit gives you direction to do something, and all you got to do is follow it. And as you do so, you'll begin to see the hand of God move on your behalf. Save the lost, heal the sick. Miracles, signs, and wonders happening not because you prayed hard enough, not against prayer, not because you fasted, not against fasting, but because you acknowledged that you are a child of God and that the God that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. The same Spirit that quickened, rose Christ from the dead is on the inside of you. And if that Spirit rose the dead, what can it do for you? Woo! Oh, my goodness. Huh. Let's look at it in the Living Word translation. The Passion Translation. The Passion Translation. The world, now I want to read verse 17 out of it. The world won't receive him because they can't see or know him. But you know him immediately. I like that word. You know him immediately. When the Spirit of God manifests in your life, in your home, in your workplace, your thought process, whatever he's doing, leading, guiding, and directing you, you will notice it immediately. Did you tell me something? Intimately, yes, but this one's immediately. One translation says intimately, but one translation says intimately, one says immediately. You'll know him at a level that other people won't know him. You'll know him at a level instantaneous, and you'll know him at a deeper level. There are people who know me, and most of you all know me to a degree, but Jesse knows me more, and you will never know me like she knows me. Most of you are very thankful for that. But all right, and let's just take it to a different level. I got a good friend of mine who I go camping with on a regular basis. Not like, you know, throughout the week, I just go camping all the time, but that would be great. But about once a year, we go camping together, we go hiking, and sometimes we don't see another human being for a whole week. Do you know what? That dude knows me better than most people know me. He knows how I will react. He knows, like, we had coyotes come through the camp, and when you're hanging in a hammock, you know, it's interesting, right? And you look out and you see a pack of coyotes in the middle. You're like, that's interesting. Well, let's just say I took some action. We'll just leave it there. And later me and him talked and he said, I knew not to get out of my hammock the moment I saw them in here. I said, how'd you know that? He said, because I know you and I know what you were going to do. I'm like, that was very smart. Made sure you didn't get in the way. Yeah, when you know somebody, you'll know how they act. Sometimes you'll look at somebody and you'll know what they're thinking. Why? Because you know them at a level other people don't know them. That's right. You can be in a situation, good or bad, something going on. I don't care what situation it is, but all of a sudden, you can just kind of, on the inside of you, Lord, I know what you're thinking. I know what you would do right here. Why? Because you know God at a level that most people don't know. See, we got out of just religion, showing up, trying to work our way to something, to a relationship with God and recognizing that we are anointed. That God has not anointed just the leadership or the head of the church to guide us all into our calling or what we're supposed to do, but God has made your spirit alive on the inside of you, and he placed the Holy Spirit in you that anytime you need to contact him, you just speak to the Lord and the Lord can lead, guide, and direct you. Oh. Woo. If that don't get your wood burning, it's wet. But the good news is the prophet in the Old Testament, when they were going to prove whose God was real, he soaked the wood anyway. Why? Because when it ignited and burned to the ground, he wanted them to know that God is not a God that is bound by anything. The other prophets, they couldn't get no fire going. The prophet of God wet the wood. So if this doesn't get you going yet, give it a moment. Let the word of God just ignite on the inside of you. Burn out all fear, all doubt, all unbelief. Amen. See, I personally believe the average Christian does not see themselves the way God sees them. If you saw yourself the way God sees you, there would be nothing to stop you. The devil could manifest as some terrible form in front of you, and you would laugh your head off because the power on the inside of you, all of hell could come against you. And you say, if God be for me, who can be against me? See, my trust is not in my ability to do everything right. My trust is not in my ability to speak the right scripture at the right moment. My trust is not that I don't make a mistake. My trust is in a God who loves me. A God who said he would be with me. A God who said if I made my bed in the belly of hell, there would be the Lord. A God who said he would never leave me nor forsake me. That's where my trust is in. Do I have faith? Absolutely. Do I use my faith? Absolutely. Do I activate my faith? Absolutely. I live on purpose to activate the promises and the anointing of God. But if I fail, God has never failed. My trust is in him. Whew. Now, let's just look at, we already said them, but let's just look at all of them. So, why don't you just look at your neighbor? Oh, good. You already even said it. Neighbor. Go ahead. Call your neighbor, neighbor. Say, neighbor, you recognize the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? Oh, I don't know. Kids have like baseball cards and things like that, or, I have no idea. But can I tell you something? Playing stats and all this, I believe the devil in hell has your card. He's like, watch out for this one. Look at the playing stats on this one. This one prays for the sick. This one commands sickness to leave the home. This one, 2 weeks ago, laid hands on someone at Walmart or Target, wherever you shop, or on Amazon.com. When you ordered, you prayed for those people, packing it up. Come on, that's fun. Pick and save. Wherever you shop, wherever you go. Notice I didn't name anywhere fancy because I don't go to those places. like last week when you were at Pizza Ranch, it's easy there. They have Christian music playing. Yeah. That's like praying for people at Chick-fil-A. It just happens. Yeah. God is there. So anyway, but all of a sudden, they look at your stats, what you've done. And I believe the devil is afraid because you're improving. You're getting better. You're stepping out more. When the devil falls asleep, you're the one who wakes him up at night screaming. You're who gives him nightmares. It is you. Why? Because you go to a church that preaches the word. You believe it. You apply it to your life. You show up to church on a regular basis. You go to life group. You do all these things. Oh. You scare the hell out of the world. I mean that literally. I'm not cursing at you or using a slang word to be slang. I'm telling you, the enemy has a plan in operation in the world, and you cancel it. You stop it. If the devil knew what he was doing when Jesus died on the cross, he would have never killed him. He would have absolutely never killed him. He's not smart enough to foresee the plan of God. Oh, and the anointing is on you. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm jumping ahead. But let's look. The Holy Spirit, he is a helper all the time. All the time. He's a helper. What about at 2 a.m? He's a helper. He's there all the time. You have the comforter every day. Every day. You have the advocate. Someone, the definition of an advocate is someone who publicly recommends and supports you. How many of you need an advocate at work? How many of you need an advocate at your house, maybe in your own family? How many of you own a business and you need an advocate with other businesses or customers? Yes. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit can reach down in somebody's home. Somebody give them the thought process, the mindset to say, I need to shop from this person. I need to do business over here. Why? Because there is an advocate promoting you. Be like, we need to promote someone at work. Who should it be? Oh, look at here. Yeah, so-and-so works for us. You know, they don't have the education right here. I see that. And they've been with us for a little while. There's other people probably a little more qualified. But why, you know, I just keep coming back to this person. I don't know why, but I just keep coming back. Because you have an advocate in the spiritual realm. And they keep whispering your name, bringing your name to the forefront, canceling out other people, and putting you to the front of the line. That's not fair. I know. And first of all, I'm thankful. My daughter would tell me, Daddy, that's not fair. I'm like, baby, you never want life to be fair. It will never be good for you if life is fair. Now, we're going to be fair and treat people fair, but you don't want fair. Because if we average the whole world in living condition, girl, you up. You ain't down. You're advanced. If you take the whole world, you're advanced. You don't want it to be fair. You want it to be unfair. You want it to be in your favor. And God says, I give my people favor. Favor is unmerited, not deserved. I don't deserve favor, but I get it, and I'm thankful for it. God will bring you favor. God will give you the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, will advocate for you on a regular basis. You have a personal, social, and psychological help. That is your counselor. He is your intercessor. You better thank God for that. Because the enemy will try to build a case up before you all the time. I believe he does it before God, but he does it in your mind constantly. He'll tell you everything you've done wrong through all the years, tell you every mistake you did, everything you messed up on, and he'll just keep telling you why you are not worthy, how you messed up, how you don't know anything, how you don't measure up to everybody else. Can I tell you something? This is something that used to get me all the time. You're not smart enough. You're not raised with the education. You've tried. You bless your little heart. Your redneck, backwoods, Bubba heart. You've tried. You went to college. Good job. No one ever expected you to make it. Woohoo, big deal. You've done all the stuff you know, but you're still the dumb little boy who didn't do so well in school. That was something that kept just itching in my brain. I'll never be smart enough. And then one day I was reading, and there was a king that was dumb. And God made him smart. I'm going to tell you something. When I read that, I've read it before, but all of a sudden I got it. And I'm like, ha, 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 woo! You want to know why I was celebrating? Because it doesn't matter if I was dumb. I serve a Savior who can bring me everything I need to know, who can bring me in the right places, who can make me smarter than I've ever been. And if I was without him, I would have stayed that dumb old redneck in the backwoods dealing with dyslexia, would have never advanced in my life. But I got a hold of a Savior who can make a madman sane, who can take a king that was eating grass in a field out of his mind and bring him back to sanity. That sounds like a God that is able to deal with any disability that I may handle. And if I'm missing something, he can create it. Oh, so go ahead, devil. Tell me why I don't measure up. Because I'll just put it on the list of all the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Oh, so I have an intercessor that will begin to pray the word. The Holy Spirit will contact the Father on your behalf and tell him why you're the person for the job. Why you're the person that can do what it takes. And I don't know everything he tells, but I guarantee you one of them is, Father, they're covered by the blood. Jesus died for their sins. They have it. Yeah, and I can see the enemy say, well, mentally they've been unstable a little bit. Did you see them last week? Oh, yes, but, you know, they asked for forgiveness. They're covered by the blood. Father, they lost their mind. Yes, they did, Father, but they renewed it in yours. They're starting to think like you think. They've done this. They did this. the blood of Jesus. And if all else, the trump card, boom, lay it down. Jesus died for their sins. The blood makes them worthy. You paid for their righteousness, Father, with the Son of Jesus. Your Son, Father, you paid for their righteousness. They're worthy. And God just goes, case for the defendant. Now, devil, this is a good one. Are you ready? I can see the Holy Spirit saying, and Father, I demand that he pays all legal fees.
Yeah. Yes.
He has wrongly prosecuted your believers time and time again. Do you know how much money they lost? Do you know how many job opportunities they lost? Do you see what they lost, Lord? Now may the enemy have to pay all the legal fees. Every missed day of work. Oh, suffered. Father, I see right here, so-and-so suffered for migraines. They missed work. They missed this day. They took a financial hit. Now, Father, I thank you that they're healed by the blood of Jesus. And everything that they lost, may it be added back onto them sevenfold, thousandfold, whatever it is. And the Lord, the advocate, is fighting for you. Oh, so thankful. Counselor. We said that he gives us help. He strengthens us. He trains us, guides and directs us in personal, social, and psychological problems. He is our strengthener when our knees are about to buckle from the weight of everything that we're carrying, from all the situations that we're in, and we feel like it's too much. The Holy Spirit just comes right on the inside of you and strengthens your legs. This is what he says. He says, I make of a way of escape so that they may bear it. All right, I'm a huge nerd. Y'all all know that. I love gadgets. Gadgets are amazing. And I just saw something this week that is so cool. I'm not buying it. Why? Because it's ridiculous, but it's awesome. It's these things that look like hinges with springs, and they strap to your knees. On the underside of your knees, and they push up. And so when you pick stuff up, most of the weight is carried by the spring pushing you up, and it helps your knees, and you can carry things that are heavier. You can pick up things that you could never pick up before. I mean, like, just throw in some arm, you know, stuff too, and we're set. I was watching that, and I'm like, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Oh, like the Iron Man. Have you seen that? Don't watch movies. Oh, I'm just kidding. But when he just holds his hands out, and all the equipment just pop, 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 and all of a sudden, he is the Iron Man. All of a sudden, you are the child of God, and you just stick your arms out, and you just, all the stuff just attaches itself to you. Now I can fly. Now I can pick up heavy things. Now you just look at the enemy. I love that part. But I don't know why I'm talking about movies. I like them. They're great. But Tony Stark, when he looks at the camera, he goes, I am Iron Man. Because, you know, all the other superheroes don't tell because they don't want to endanger themselves or their family. But see, Christians, they just look right in the face of the enemy and they say, I am the child of God. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. This is where I live. Come here, we will defeat you. If it's just me alone, I will defeat you, not because of me, but because of everything on the inside of me. Now, see, Tony, he wore his on the outside. You wear yours on the inside. And you have all this. You have the helper, the advocate, the comforter, the intercessor, the strengthener, the counselor on you all the time. Every day, every moment, every night. Every time you feel weak, that's when you can cry out, I am strong. Because it's not your strength, it's God's on the inside of you. Yes, yes. See, if you had to be determined just on yourself, we would be in trouble. If you had to be determined upon your own education, the very fact of where you're born to even hold a job, you would be in trouble. But it's the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. You got that power, that access all the time, every day. It's not fair. I know. The best thing you can do is teach it to others. Get others in. Get others on the same level you're on. Preach the gospel. You want this, you can have it too. You want it, life to be unfair and in your favor? Now. Now is the time. The Holy Spirit, he does all of this. And that can be your life as well. Whew. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, you have all of that. Look at another neighbor. Find somebody else. Tell them, I have all of that. Oh, I have it all. Oh, I have it all. John 4:4 tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The scripture here that we just read tells us that the world doesn't get it. So can I tell you something? The church should be more advanced. We should be more advanced than the world. We should be better at things. We should be better at things. We should be better in the workplace. We should be better employees. We should be better parents than the world. All the kids say? Amen. All right. Kids, you should be better kids than the average kid. All the parents say?
Amen.
There we go. I was going to bring it right back to you. I knew it. All right. Anyway. I just love the Lord. It is the anointing that causes us to grow. The anointing can act as an incubator. It acts as an incubator. It causes the environment to be positioned for you to grow. Have you ever been around an incubator? How many of you ever been around an incubator? Now, I'm not saying there's a lot of you. Some of you grew up on farms or in the country, I guess. Now, sometimes, I'm not saying all of them, but sometimes an incubator don't smell that great. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, good, good. Some of you know that. An incubator is hot. It can cause you to sweat. But it's the right environment. It's the right environment for you to grow. Some of you have been looking at the environment that you are in and complaining about the heat, complaining about the smell, complaining about the work hours, complaining about the employees, complaining about this or that. Can I tell you something? So not in every situation, and hear my heart, but there are some things that you are in because God has put you into the place where the environment would cause you to grow. You would never get the level of advancement that you are going to have if you stayed in that air-conditioned, perfectly smelling, great place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would have never reached the level of growth that you needed to be to obtain the blessing that you're coming through. Oh, people complain, I'm in this tight quarter. There's a shell all the way around me. It's too cramped in here. It's just the right place with just the right stuff for you to grow at the ultimate level that you need to be. So instead of complaining, recognize the anointing. You're not going to stay in the egg forever. You're not going to stay in the stinky situation forever. You're not going to sweat forever. But God has placed you into a place where you will grow. You know what happens if you take the eggs out of the incubator and just leave them alone? They die. They rot. I believe that some people are rotting because they moved when they should have stayed. I think some people are bitter on the inside because God was trying to get them to a blessing and they thought it was a curse. Lord, why did this happen? Why did you put me through this? Why didn't you take care of this? And you're sitting in the environment. You're in the right environment. You're going to take off. You're at the right place at the right time. And you've got to use your faith to believe God that you're in the right place at the right time. Could you imagine Ruth? Oh, at the threat of death. You got to go before the king. But if I go before the king unannounced, it's death by law for me. You got to do it. This is the time. She could have just complained and said, no way. I'm not staying in this incubator. It stinks. It's too hot. It's too costly. I can't stay in here. And Esther was the very key, the very blessing that saved an entire race of people. Oh, oh, you are set up for so much more than this. You are set up for so much more than this. the anointing. It's Isaiah that tells us that the anointing removes anxiety, grief, and burdens, and it destroys bondages, oppression, and yokes. Now, see, this is it. A lot of people take off the yoke. They get rid of the yoke of the world. But then Jesus says, take my yoke. It's easy. It's light. Yeah, yeah. And some people say, I'm not taking on any more yokes. The world has told me what to do all my life. And I'm not conforming to nothing. Look, don't you ain't got to conform to religion, but conform to a relationship to God. Because whatever he's leading and guiding and directing you to do, it is for your benefit. It is for your blessing. It is to get you to the other side. He is incubating the plan of God on the inside of you so that you can burst through and be the chicken that you are called to be. I'm just kidding. The Bible says you're eagles. But I was just thinking of fried chicken. It got me off track. That is a blessing of the Lord. I'm ending with this. 2 Samuel chapter 6. King David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God. Not the ark that, you know, Noah. Not Noah ark, right? That would be a big undertaking. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what was the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was a place that stored the presence of God. That you are the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know that Hitler looked for the Ark of the Covenant? Oh, yes. He just knew if he could find the Ark of the Covenant that he could rule the world. Because the Jewish people did. They used it for protection. The presence of God was when the presence of God is with the people of God, great things always happen. Great things always happen. Okay, now, there was a guy. So the ark was on a cart. The cart was being pulled. It almost sounds like a song, like a children's song. And the ark was being pulled by oxen. Okay, so it was being pulled by oxen. And it says that when the oxen moved, it shook the ark. And so then a man who saw the ark shaking puts his hands up to stop the ark from falling. Jesus has not died. Righteousness and unrighteousness could not mix. The moment he touched the ark, he fell down dead. Seems really unfair. It seems unfair. David even thought so. David thought it was unfair. David got mad. And he was afraid. And this is, let's pick up in verse 9. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obadiah. The Gittite, and the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Obadiah, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obadiah and all his household. Obadiah, now why is Obadiah blessed? Because he has the Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? The presence of God. What? Where does the presence of God live? In you. So what you have on the inside of you used to be in an ark. That ark was put into Obadiah's property. Obadiah all of a sudden grew bigger grapes. I don't know, watermelon, whatever he grew. His kids were more blessed. His bank accounts grew. His hair grew back. He was bald. He was bald and his hair grew back. I'm just thinking what would bless me. Okay. His wife thought he looked better. He got in better shape. He looked in the mirror. He flexed. Life blessing is falling down on Obadiah. All of a sudden, he's recognizing the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is leading him, giving him dreams and visions. Why? Because the presence of God, the anointing of God is present. Word gets back to David. Hey, Obadiah, he's investing right now in the stock market, and he has made a pretty mint. He's like, oh, he has. Yeah, and his crops, oh my gosh. You should see the size of his corn. He's got big corn, and I cannot lie. Thank you. He's like, look at all this. And David goes, okay, all right, you know what? We got to go get the Ark of the Covenant. We got to get the blessing of God. We have to have the anointing back in our life. Because these last 3 months, my stock markets were okay. Corn was normal size. And my wife noticed my hair was falling out. Let's go get the covenant. Let's go get the presence of God. Let's go get the anointing back in this city. I got to have it. Obadiah was blessed simply because the anointing of God was in his presence. Can I tell you something, though? The Philistines, so this is why it wouldn't work for Hitler. Are you ready? The Philistines actually stole the Ark of the Covenant. What happened to them? They were cursed with boils, sicknesses. Their land was cursed. And they said, get this thing out of here. Get it back to the Israelites. Get it back to them. Because this thing is messing us up. So Hitler could have found it, but it would have just made him sick. Because it only works for his people. Go back to the scripture, the world will not recognize it. But the people of God will. Last scripture, number 17. I'm done. Number 17 and 6. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes among Aaron and among, I'm good at skipping lines. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod. You know what a rod is, just a piece, right? Like a staff. And each one of them, according to their father's house, even 12 rods. First time I read that as a kid, I thought, rod and reel? So I'd take 12 of them too. And Aaron among the rods. Now Moses laid the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witnesses. And it came to pass that on the morrow, basically the next day in the morning, Moses went into the tabernacle of witnesses, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of the Levites budded. And it grew forth buds, bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. Basically yielded fruit. So basically what happens is they're trying to figure out who's going to lead the people of God, who's going to be the house of the priest. And so they all bring rods in. They're walking sticks. It represents who their tribe is. And they get them all together. Moses puts them before the presence of God, and one all of a sudden begins to grow. And it bring forth, and it's a sign who will be the priest. Who will come before the presence of the Lord. Now, we're not in Moses' day anymore. So now, if we took all of us and all got just sticks from outside and put them in the presence of the Lord, every one of them would grow new leaves. Every one of them would bud. Every one of them would bring forth a harvest. Why? Because the anointing of God, you are the chosen ones. You are who God thought of before he ever went to the cross. Before the world was ever created, God said, I knew each and every one of you before the foundations of the earth. You are budding. My life, I just feel hollow. I feel empty. I feel lost. I feel just incomplete. Come before the anointing of God. Get in his presence and life will grow. Dreams will come back to life. Some of you dreams have died. The anointing of God will bring your dreams back to life. The very presence of the Lord can bring life to a dying situation. Well, maybe you say, there are some parts of my life that will never look the same anymore. Well, that's all right, because God will take you right where you are, and like he did Adam and Eve, and breathe life. Breathe life into a situation that looks lost. Bring life into a situation that looks dead. You may have been scarred. You may have been just hurt by situations and the way the world would operate. And maybe it was by people that were supposed to love God. And it's devastated your heart. God can fill that hollow place, that pain. He can take it from you and breathe life back in. I remember there was a situation I went through as a child. And I felt like I was dying every day. And I wanted to die. And I remember one night in church, we just got a new pastor in our home church. He didn't know who I was, didn't know what I was going through. And just during praise and worship, I was worshiping the Lord. And I was back. I was in the middle somewhere. So, yeah, just where we sat at that time. And I remember him saying, young man, you. And I didn't, my eyes were closed. I was worshiping the Lord. I had no idea he was speaking to me. And somebody behind me said, Tim. And I looked up. He said, he's talking to you. And the pastor was pointing. He said, young man, you, come up front. God has something for you. And I began to walk up front. And I didn't feel the presence of God, but I made it to the third aisle. And when I hit that, it was like running face first into a wall. I couldn't move anymore. And he came to me where I was standing. And he said, I will never forget it. He said, the Lord says, you are in great pain. He said, your heart literally aches. Until that time, I thought when people said my heart ached, I thought it was an expression. I didn't know it was real. I had no idea that your heart could really hurt over an emotional deal, over physical, emotional pain, that your heart could literally feel it. I had no idea until this moment. Until that situation happened in my life, I had no idea. And he said, your heart hurts, your heart aches. He said, the Lord is going to take that from you now. And when he said now, it was like I felt something just pull off of me. Like, I don't know how to explain it. If you ever had something that was sticking on you and just snatched off where the suction of air came out, I felt it leave me. I never had that pain again. My heart never ached over that again. God comes to heal the brokenhearted. He brings life where there was no life, where it looked like death and destruction. One word from God, one moment with the anointing, one moment in the presence of the Lord can bring life back to a situation. I want to tell you, that does not mean relationships will be restored. I'm not saying that at all. Some relationships, you have to be incubated to the place you need it, should have been cut off a long time ago, or some should have never happened. But you're at a place now, where you are now. God will bring you to a place, incubate that, create life out of destruction. He will bring sweet water out of bitter Marah, where the people of God were in the land of Marah, bitter water. God made the water good. You may feel like you're in bitterness. You may feel like you're in pain. You may feel like you're in the desert. God will bring life. Some of you are in just a season and you're incubating. Don't let go now. Hold on. Help is on the way. Don't pull your eggs out now. God is bringing a blessing. As a congregation, let's take this moment right now and let's ask the Lord, what are you speaking to my heart? What in this message? How do we apply this, Lord? What were you saying to me, God? I thank you, Father, that you are speaking to people's hearts right now. Some of you, I believe God is making it plain. Whether it was your work, family, whatever it was, God is showing you. Some of you, you're going to have to let go of some things. Some of you are going to have to turn and embrace the environment that God is leading you into. Some of you are going to have to sit still where you are. But God will make that plain to you. He'll make it known. I thank you, God, that you're leading each and every one of us right now, right where we are.